Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Middle East today. Coming to you from Beirut, I'm Mariam Saleh. The U.S.-Russian competition in the Middle East, which goes way back, seems to have started a new round with the unfolding events in the region. Is Russia the major obstacle for the United States in preserving its interests? And how have transformations in the Arab world created more tension between the states? The Syrian crisis is at the heart of the U.S.-Russian rivalry. We'll try to get some insight on the nature of the relations between the two states, which seem to be dictated by the current political spectrum. For more, I'm joined by General Hisham Jaber. He is director of Middle East Center for Studies here in Beirut. I'm also joined by Mr. Bob Ayers, international security expert. He's joining us from London. I want to welcome you both to this edition. Let me start with you, General Jaber. How do you think the transformations in the region clearly underline the growing tensions between Russia and the United States?
First of all, we have to go back to the history a little bit. And we find within the Soviet Union, the Middle East was, many countries in the Middle East was very close to Soviet Union. And it was, they had influence in this region. Of course, after 1990 and when Soviet Union did collapse, Russia was busy within 10 years at least to put itself together and to solve internal problems. Then after 2000, Russia started to be, to become a power, if I won't say a superpower, mm-hmm. but now we can say that Russia, facing the United States, could pretend to be a superpower. Putin, his campaign, was always based, and the first factor was the pride of the Russian people and the nationalism, etc., etc. Of course, Russia, Soviet Union before, and Russia later, lost a lot of allies in the Middle East, became in the American side, like Egypt, for example, and Iraq, North Iraq in between, and even within Saddam Hussein era, etc. Now, look at the map, you find that Russia doesn't have any real, effective and mm-hmm. important
now,
asset.
It did start being friendly with the United States. It seems that now they're going through a face-off. Do you think that's what's happening
face,
right now?
Face, not military, mm-hmm. conflict.
Yes,
but Russia,
political, perhaps.
Yes, political. And Russia now is has, doesn't, economically, is not in need of the United States like Russia was 10 years ago. Now Russia is ready to play its role as on the international scene, especially in the Middle East. And Russia took this position for Syria, with Syria. We mm-hmm. are discussing mm-hmm. this problem because Syria is the only base, to Russia in the Middle East. And don't forget the warm water, which was historical since that Caesar, there was a dream for Russia before Soviet Union. Then it became reality in the late mm-hmm. 60s within the Soviet Union. I don't think Russia now is able or capable to leave, Syria to its destiny for the good eyes of the United States.
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask you more about this. Is it just the issue of a naval base in Syria, or is it more than that? Let me ask Mr. Ayers what he thinks about the latest in the tensions between the two states. Now, the fact that Mr. Vladimir Putin seems to be the most powerful man in Russian modern times, that's quite clear to everyone. But it seems the United States wanted to somewhat punish him or try to, create the fraud charges. Some analysts believe this is an old U.S. trick that did not work.
Well, we have to examine what's been happening in Russia against the backdrop of the recent election. Putin was once again running for office, and he had been cultivating the image of being a hard man, standing up for Russia, defending Russia against the imperialists who were trying to surround and annihilate the country. And this was an election image. What is fascinating is the election is now over, and we're beginning to see Putin revert to some of the old lessons he learned in the KGB, rounding up the opposition, suppressing any opposition on the streets. He's not the same strong man that he was 4, 6, 8 years ago. He's now been weakened. The population is no longer willing to just automatically go along with whatever Putin says he wants to do or whatever he thinks the country should do.
Yes, now that's probably internally. How about in the Middle East? How is it able? Now, do you think, how can he face the United States? Is he really an obstacle to its interests in the region?
Well, I think what we saw with regard to Syria was almost an automatic response by Russia. Traditionally, the Middle East had been an area where the Soviets and the Americans faced off. And they chose up sides, they had their client states, and they used that as an area to confront each other. Now, as the previous speaker has said, about the only Soviet, if you will, Russian client state left is Syria. And the Russian response was to automatically defend their sole remaining Mideast ally from any sort of intervention by the United Nations or the West. What we're also seeing, interestingly enough, is the Russian defense of Syria is beginning to waver a bit. It's not nearly as unquestioning and unequivocal as it was 4, 5, or 6 months ago.
All right, let me come back to General Hisham Jaber. Do you think that the Syrian crisis and this Russian-U.S. Standoff will continue until the end of the U.S. presidential elections, that we will still see Russia standing in the face of the United States in the U.N. Security Council?
Yeah, of course, you know, on the American side, let me be frank and to tell you that the Americans now are busy by their election, and there is every, you know, candidate is trying to, like John McCain yesterday, trying to put his wishful thinking, you know, like using forces against Syria, etc., etc. And Obama is inside the election. And I don't think the American administration will change its policy after the election toward Syria. Going back to Russia, and I think the position of Russia is so far, and it will be, for in the near future, would stay like it is, because it comes in the national interest, you know, and vital for Russia. Mm-hmm. And Russia is not able to give United States any credit in this regard and to leave Syria alone. Let me, here we received a statement, you know, from the Russian foreign minister, which she said, Russia's stance on Syria has always been based on the principles of international law, and it will be not changed after the recent presidential election. That's what he said, the Russian foreign minister, on Tuesday. In this regard, he continued, we would like to call all our American and European partners not to indulge in wishful thinking. That means that Russia will continue supporting Syria, Syrian regime, of course. Mm-hmm. And as I told you, the Russians don't have any choices, and they are working. Everything is based not on the feeling, but on the Russian national interest, economic interest, and political interest, and military interest. And as long as the crisis in Syria would continue, maybe it will continue after the American election, I think the position of Russia will stay like it is, and I don't think or I don't see any change in the American policy. Mm-hmm. But the Americans now are confusing. They don't have a clear position toward the situation in Syria.
Why is that? Is it because they're busy with the presidential elections?
Not because it's because they, you know, you see that, because they have been, they thought at the beginning that Syria is like Egypt and like what happened in Tunisia, and they can count on the army, Syrian army. Here I have to say something very important. Mm-hmm. Most, if I don't say all, Arab armed forces, the Americans, they do have connection with those armies in the Arab countries. And that's what happened in Tunisia, when they told the general commander Rashid bin Ammar to tell the president to go, and they did the same. And Egypt, and they have connection with all Arab armies except Syria. They don't have any connection mm-hmm. and influence inside Syria.
Yes. We're joined on the phone by Mr. Dmitry Babi. She's also joining us from, he's joining us from Moscow. He's a political analyst. I want to welcome you to the show, Mr. Babish. And do you think that with Vladimir Putin being president, do you think that he can reshape the foreign policy of Russia, especially in areas where the U.S. seems to have more control in the Middle East? And will Russia hold on to its stance in perhaps defending the Syrian government?
Russia supports not the Syrian government, but it supports the principle of sovereignty. And in the case of Syria, this is the sovereignty of the Syrian state. However, Russia has the same power in the Middle East as the Soviet Union had, and Russia is not prepared to risk its own security for the sake of Syria. So Russia will resist intrusion into Syria by foreign forces, and Russia will not support any foreign interventions in Syria, only as long as it is supported by other states. I don't think we can do it alone because, Russia is not the only state in the world, and we cannot uphold international principles alone without support from other countries.
Yes, Mr. Babish, does Mr. Putin want to put Russia as a heavyweight in the face of the United States in areas where U.S. interests are very vital?
Well, Russia has already lost tens of billions of dollars in terminated contracts in the Middle East because of the so-called Arab revolutions. For us, it is the principle. The situation when foreign agents foreign countries meddle into a country's internal affairs and change regime within that country. This is not an acceptable situation. And although we're not as heavyweight as we used to be in the times, we cannot accept such a development.
All right, do you think that President Putin, our previous speaker, said that Putin would be weaker now after he is president in this term? Do you think that that is the case, or do you think that he will be able to reshape the foreign policy of Russia and that it will be an influential one in the region?
No, I don't think so. And actually, the Russian foreign ministry already made a statement on the matter that Russia's position on the Syrian issue will not change now that the election is over. It's quite clear that the intervention of foreign powers in Syria is so cynical that we cannot tolerate it. And I don't think there is any difference in the positions of President Medvedev and future President Putin on that matter. They hold similar views on this situation. And, Russia's position can only be changed if the situation on the ground improves. Otherwise, I don't expect any fluctuations in Russia's stance on Syria.
All right, I want you to stay with us, Mr. Babish. Let me go to Mr. Ayers in London. Do you think that Russia would be able to stand in the face of the United States? And it would be some kind of an obstacle for its interests with the fact that in the United Nations Security Council, it can stop all the resolutions that have been taken in the case of Syria and perhaps even in the case of Iran.
Well, we have to bear in mind one fact here. And that is that what we're seeing happening in the Mideast and in the Mediterranean littoral parts of Africa, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, we're seeing fundamentally popular uprisings. These are not being created by the United States. They're not being created by Russia. These are happening of their own accord. And we're seeing the same thing happening in Syria. Now, what we have going now is an interesting situation from the perspective of Russian foreign policy. There's an increasing belief that Assad's regime will fall, that the popular discontent will continue to grow, and ultimately that regime will collapse. When that happens, whoever takes power is going to take power knowing full well that the Russians obstructed any relief or any assistance that they could have received in their revolution. And that puts the Russians in a very awkward position of having lost their only true ally client state in the Mideast. They must be very careful.
All right, Mr. General Hisham Jabir, do you think that what is the objective of the Russian foreign minister's meeting with the Arab League members, member states in Cairo?
Trying to solve the problem, as he said, and to come up with acceptable solution. Russia already did offer a table for dialogue and did propose a solution, which consists of having a ceasefire from both sides. Until yesterday, the Western Bloc did not mention any ceasefire or any stop of military operation from the insurgent. Always they were calling the Syrian to stop and to stop their military operation, the Syrian army, mm-hmm. and to go back to its barracks, which was unfair. As in a military point of view, the Russians were right when they asked to stop military operation from both sides, and they are trying to convince the Arabs to go in this way, not only to blame Syria and to ask the Syrian army to go back to its barracks, which is not feasible and it's not possible. And the Russians will continue to offer their initiative and local or the table in Moscow for both sides to start a dialogue. This is the role of Russia. And if you ask me why the Russians also will stay in this position and against any external intervention in the Syrian affairs, even political intervention, mm-hmm. in economy, against the sanctions and against any military operation may come from outside. Because as I told you, the interest of Russia, you know, is there is a list of the interest of Russia beside the economic
yes.
relation with Syria.
Do you think that the Arab League would coordinate more with Russia when it wants to, for example,
I'm sorry to say that
suggest another resolution in the United Nations Security Council?
I'm sorry to say that I'm not sure that the Arab League are the master of their decision. They have to ask United States. If America wants the Arab League to accept the Russian... Mm-hmm.
So does this mean that we will see the actions of world powers and not Arab states that are influential in Syria? Is this what you're trying to say?
Yeah, no. I'm trying to say that the Arab League, most of the Arab countries are now in the Arab League,
yes.
allied to the United States. Of course, the question in Syria, first, it's Syrian internal and domestic problem. Second, it's inter-Arab problem. Third, mm-hmm. it's international problem. Now, the Arab League were in the same way of the American policy.
All right.
What America cannot do can ask the Arab League to do it.
All right, now, let me get America Mr. Ayers' take on this, what he thinks. Do you think that it's the Arab League is actually just representing the U.S. stance when it comes to the issue of Syria, and not actually brokering something between the Syrians themselves?
No, I think the Arab League is representing their own interest, and their primary interest is one of stability in the region, and Syria is a serious threat to stability in the region. As we've been talking about for the last half hour, the Syrian situation is drawing in external powers to involve themselves in the events in Syria. This is against the objectives of the Arab League. They want to be left to their own. They don't want foreign intervention. And that's not necessarily the U.S. policy. That's not the Russian policy. That's the policy of the Arab League.
All right. Do you think that with the visit
a quick response. With all my respect, the Arab League was sleeping for 20 years, and now it woke up. With the money of and the influence of the Gulf countries pushed by the United States. With all my respect to your guest, no, he doesn't know this region. They don't have any interest, the Arab League, in what's going on in Syria. If they are interested to have democracy in Syria, they have to start in their own country to apply democracy first. Mm-hmm. Second, if the are the Arab the Arab countries in the Gulf especially, they prefer a Islamic fundamentalist regime in Syria? I don't know. I am not sure about this, and I think it's against their structures, their interests.
The structure, you mean of kingdoms,
They are not interested to have democracy, yes, because democracy is contagious. They are not interested to have Islamic regimes in the Arab countries because it's also contagious. The Arab countries, especially the Arab countries in the Gulf, are applying the American agenda in the Middle East.
All right. Before I come back to you, Mr. Ayers, let me just get this one more question. Give one more question to Mr. Babish, who's still joining us on the phone. Why is Russia so adamant on keeping its stance in the United Nations Security Council? Does it want to give a greater role for the BRICS countries, for Brazil, Russia, India, and China? Where will this reach?
Well, basically, the situation is that Russia wanted to cooperate with the Arab League. Traditionally, we had a very good relations with the Arab League. In Libya, Russia abstained from the vote during the vote in the Security Council on the resolution on Libya just because the Arab League was for that resolution. So we are we're accustomed to trust the Arab League. But the situation in Libya was so dismally bad after that UN resolution. It was twisted in such a horrible way that now, unfortunately, we no longer trust the Arab League, which is obviously dominated by the Saudis and Qataris. So, unfortunately, in this situation in Syria, Russia will follow the international rules and will try to uphold the international standards. It's a great pity that the Arab League cannot help us to do it.
All right. Now, Mr. Ayers, I want to ask you about this issue and about what's coming up next. Do you think that the visit of the UN Special Envoy, Mr. Kofi Annan, his visit to Syria is indicative that the military solution is over, is put aside, and now we're focusing on a political solution to the crisis?
I think what we're going to see happen in Syria is a continuation of proposals for ceasefire, proposals for political solutions, proposals for negotiations between the different parties. But ultimately what is going to happen is while the world discusses the problem, Syria will continue to be torn apart by this internal revolt that is occurring now. Both the superpowers, the Russians, for example, and the Americans, for example, in spite of what they say, they don't want to intervene in this. They wish it to be over with. They wish it to be something they no longer have to deal with. And they're going to keep their fingers crossed and hope that it comes to some sort of a conclusion soon. Unfortunately, I don't believe that's going to happen.
All right, another quick question. You think that the United States' role will waver when it comes to supporting the Syrian opposition since they've refused to arm the armed groups, the Syrian opposition inside Syria?
Well, we have to remember that arming the opposition groups is not as easy as a lot of people make it out to be. Even if the U.S. took a decision to arm the opposition groups, which I don't believe they will ever do, you then have the problem of how do you get weapons into Syria, into Homs, into the hands of the rebellious opposition groups. You can't just put them in a truck and drive across Syria and say, come get your heavy weapons. Assad's government still controls the borders. They still control the majority of the land in that country. And to arm the opposition groups, you have to have access to them. And the way you would have to get access to them is either overland and you'd be interdicted, or you try to fly them in by air, in which case the Syrian Air Force would interdict you, and you're going to have to then fight the Syrian Air Force to open an air corridor to arm the opposition. Arming the opposition is not really an answer. It's not really a practical solution.
All right. Dr. Jaber, final question for you. Do you think that the issue of Russia, you said before that it's more than just the issue of a naval base in Tartus in Syria. Do you think that they will also object to the next draft resolution, which will be presented by the United States?
Yes, Russia. I'm talking about the interest of Russia in Syria and why Russia is supporting the regime in Syria. First of all, Russia is not sure that the next regime or the coming regime after Assad in Syria will not be Muslim fundamentalist, and Russia will not be happy to have such regime in Syria.
General Hisham Jaber, thank you very much for being with us. Sir Bob Ayers, expert on security, international security expert, joining us from London. Well, thank you. Also, I also want to thank Mr. Dmitry Babish, political analyst, joining us from Moscow. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.